Thank you, Brother Jim. It seems only yesterday that we gathered here and were shaking hands, and how quickly our time has passed. A few weeks ago, several thoughts came to me, and I feel impressed that if I should speak in this reunion, that I should present. And then I got a notice through the mail that I was one of the speakers chosen and a speaker chosen for the final service of this reunion. And so I feel rather deeply of the responsibility that has been placed upon me. And I feel there's one verse of scripture in the book of Amos that I'd like to present today. I feel a rather profound passage of scripture. The third chapter and the seventh verse. Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servant, the prophets. And I want us to think upon that, because from the beginning, the Lord has not accomplished anything save he first revealed his secret unto the servant, unto his servants, the prophets. And I want us to ponder upon that today. Because when we analyze history, we will see that that which is past was already foretold. There are many events that foretold the birth of Jesus Christ. And we who believe the Book of Mormon have one little advantage. It tells of a day and a night and a day in which there was no darkness. And when that come, it was a shock to those who thought it would never come. But it was foretold. And likewise, his crucifixion was foretold. And the 3 days of darkness that existed upon the face of this continent, it was foretold, and it come to pass in every detail. And all these would be good subjects to pursue, but that is not my desire this day. But I would like to go into another prophet who spoke of our day, and there were many who spoke of our day, but one of the greatest was Jesus Christ. When we analyze various ones pertaining to the last days and the time of the end, he spoke of some events in Luke 21, Matthew 24, and in other places. The disciples of Jesus, his apostles, came to him. And he told them about one day that the very stones of that temple would be torn down, that not one stone would be upon another. And his apostle says, tell us, when shall this be? But likewise, they wanted to know about the time and the sign of his coming and the time of the end. And that's the part I want to be more concerned about. And Jesus Christ raised a warning voice. He said, let no man deceive you, because it would be a day of deception, the time that is called the last days. And I believe that we're really in the last days, because we can read in the Book of Mormon that there would come a time when truth would come unto the Gentiles. And when was that to be? It was said that it would be in the latter days. And I believe the latter days is when the coming forth of the Book of Mormon at its time. And that's been about 158 years ago. It came to the world in 1829, 1830, through there. And so we find that that time has passed. And the latter days has been for a period of time. But I believe if we'll open our eyes, we will see that we've entered the dispensation of time that is appropriately called the last days. And I want us to think upon them, because I want each one here in the sound of my voice this afternoon to be prepared for the events that will yet transpire. And they will be trying to our very nature. But now going back to the event that Christ said concerning a time, let no man deceive you, for he said, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Saying that Jesus is the Christ, he is the one you must listen to. And how true that is. But there is proclaimed today by many religions, if you believe in Christ, if you take him into your heart, that is all that is needed. It really isn't the whole truth, not nearly, when we know the teachings of Jesus Christ. But he said it would be a day of deception. And on down in Matthew 24:11, he told about a time when the false prophets would arise and shall deceive many. We're in a day when there are false prophets upon the face of this earth. And sadly, as may be stated, some of them have touched the restoration. Not to the honor and glory of the restoration, but it has happened. And it has happened in many other places. So I thought to bring to our attention this afternoon several thoughts. But I want to change to a little different type of thinking. A lot of times when we think of the last days, we hear of the earthquakes and the famines and the pestilences. We have foretold of signs in the heavens and the earth beneath. We have foretold of distress upon the earth and distress among nations and men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking at that which is coming upon the face of the earth. And these things are before our mind. But tonight, or this afternoon, I should say, I don't desire to enumerate too much on this trend of thinking. It is too a subject within itself. But I want to touch another trend of thinking. And it was from the words of the Apostle Paul to Timothy. In 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and before I complete this reading, I will use 1 through 5. And the Apostle Paul said, this know that in the last days perilous times shall come. And this is what I want to touch upon, because he spoke of some other perils. And you know, perils is a thing of hazard. It is dangerous. Another definition is full of peril. And that's connected with danger. So it will be a dangerous time, a time that we must give heed to. And now I wish to read some from the second verse. And I'm going to take this in parts, because he says, these are some of the perils of the last days. So I want each one to know. I want not only you adults and you mothers and your fathers, and your, but I want the young people, the little children this day to listen to what I have to say. Because I believe I have some things that will be beneficial for each and every one of you. In the second verse of the 3rd chapter of 2 Timothy, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. So Paul looked down to a time that mankind would be lovers of their own selves. Open your eyes, it is unfolding right before our eyes right now, and has been. It has been taught to think highly of ourselves. But Have they forgotten the passage of Scripture wherein it says to love one's neighbor as oneself and to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind? Have they forgotten that? Lovers of their own selves. A time when man would be covetous and boasters and proud. There's a related passage of Scripture that I would like to turn to in 2 Nephi on page 109 in the Book of Mormon. And I'd like that to bring this to our attention today. And I would like to touch upon verses 57 through 64. Why all this is happening? Nephi hit it accurately. He says, oh, the cunning plan of the evil one. There it is. All in one little nutshell. We must not ever underestimate the forces of evil and the power of the devil. He is the master of deception. And as I've said before, and I'll say it again, no one is the equal to that power of deception unless he has the power of God, unless he places his trust there. We cannot do it alone. Don't try it. It cannot be done. But with the power of God, you are more than able. And for this, I am deeply thankful today. And then he goes on to say, not only the cunning plan of the evil one, oh, the vainness. What did it say here? Boasters, proud, and the frailties and the foolishness of men. When they are learned, they think they are wise, and they hearken not to the counsel of God. And I believe the world is not hearkening to the counsel of God today. If they were, the things that are happening would not be happening. This world would not be ravished with sin and iniquity. For they set aside this counsel of God, supposing they know of themselves. And with all the knowledge you may accumulate in this lifetime, it's only a little dot compared to what God knows. I could turn around and put a dot right here, but look at all the rest of the wall. There's a lot there, isn't it? Wherefore, their wisdom is foolishness, and it profiteth them not, and they shall what? Perish. But to be learned is good, if they hearken unto the counsels of God. That's a passage of Scripture I've used on many occasions. It didn't say learning was all bad. There is some learning it is bad. Now, I'll tell you what, there's some things that I wished I'd never even heard. And I think if you're each honest, there's things that you'd assume you'd never heard. But to be learned is good if you don't forget this now, to hearken unto the counsels of God. And then as we read on here in this rather important passage of Scriptures, but woe unto the rich who are rich as to things of the world, covetousness. See how it all ties one with the other. But because they are rich, they despise the poor. Is not that happening? And they persecute the meek, and their hearts are upon their treasures. Wherefore, their treasure is their God. And behold, their treasure shall perish with them also. Now, I find that these are rather plain, significant words. And I would that we might pay particular attention to them. Let's go on in this particular reading in Timothy. And for those who are following, I hope you haven't lost the place yet, because I'm going to refer to it several times. Another part of some of the things and perils of the last days. And listen to this. You little children, you young people, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, It was told there would be a day of disobedience to parents. You know, Paul, in the book of Ephesians, and this is found in the fifth chapter and in the first four verses. Children, listen closely. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Did you hear that? But it says in the Lord. Naturally, we wouldn't want you to do something that's wrong, but this does qualify in the Lord. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. It don't stop there. Now you parents, listen to this. And ye fathers, and I'll add mothers also, provoke not your children to wrath. But what is your duty? To bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I don't want you to forget that. That's part of your duty. And it is your duty. And I want to turn to another related passage in the Book of Mormon on page 142. And I want us to think upon this. Because I think what Nephi said were really important words. And this is actually 2 Nephi 11. And I want to touch upon verses 43 down through 48. If you wish to make a note of it. And Nephi said, and listen to this, for we labor diligently to write, to persuade our children and also our brethren to believe in Christ and to be reconciled to God. Many years ago that was written, but I find it to be an important statement. And I hope we don't forget it. For we know that it is by grace that we are saved after all we can do. And notwithstanding we believe in Christ, we keep the law of Moses. Now, incidentally, for your information, this was before Christ came. The people still kept the law of Moses. But these people lived the law of Christ, but they still kept the law of Moses. And look forward with steadfastness unto Christ until the law shall be fulfilled. For this end was the law given, and that is the law of Moses. Wherefore the law hath become dead unto us, and we are made alive in Christ because of our faith. Did not the Apostle Paul say that without faith it is impossible to please him? For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It is important that we have faith. And yet Nephi said, even though this law will be fulfilled, yet we keep the law because of the commandments. We've been told to do it, even though we believe in Christ, we talk about Christ, we preach Christ. And then he goes on to say, and we talk of Christ, we rejoice in Christ, we preach of Christ, and listen to this, we prophesy of Christ. Isn't that important? It surely is. And we write according to our prophecies. Why all this? That our children, now that's important, they're the heritage of tomorrow. Don't forget that. It's already brought out here. Some are not even here who were at previous reunions. They've passed on. Many others of us are growing older. We all are, but there are young. So it's important that we do this for the sake of our little children, that we talk of Christ, that we preach of Christ and prophesy of it. That our children may know what? To what source they may look for a remission of their sins. There is the place for the remission of your sins. Some of the children here have not chosen baptism, but one day we hope they will, and that is the source of the remission of your sins. Some have already been baptized and perhaps have wandered off on another path. But there is a way back. Thank the Lord this day, and praises be to Him. And that is repentance and the Lord Jesus Christ. He cares for you. I would like to turn back now to the third verse of the third chapter of 2 Timothy. He speaks of another thing, of the last days. He said, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. And I believe I will enlarge a bit here on this particular reading and think upon it. But before I enter that, I see a little note here on my small piece of paper that I overlooked. And I feel led to touch upon it because we spoke somewhat about our responsibility to our little children. And also the children have a responsibility to God and their parents. But I thought of a group of news items that appeared about a few weeks ago in numerous newspapers across the face of our land concerning children. And I think they were in six different issues. And I don't know how many of you read them, but I read part of them, maybe not every word. But they were really a thing of concern to me when I seen how worldwide little children are being exploited. Some were working in factories. One little girl at the age of 4 years old, there all day long. Other little girls at 7 and 8, tying knot after knot for rugs that somebody somewhere else might have a lavish rug, while these little children work 10, 15 hours and some longer. And young boys worked in glass factories or glass mills, whatever you want to call them, forges, I guess. But anyway, they work there, taking that hot glass, and in many occasions, they were burnt as they walked, barefooted. And they slept where they worked, 2 meals a day. Little children, mind you. And it saddened my heart because Jesus looked on little children with a great degree of happiness, and I hope we do. I love little children, especially the young. I feel I relate good to them because they know whether you love them or not. And then I read further into this article how some young girls in their early teens were taken for prostitution. Some boys were taken for male prostitution. As I read this series of articles, it is a frightening thing to even think upon it. When we read what the Scripture is for, we preach of Christ, we teach of Christ and prophesy Him, that our children may know to whom they should turn for the remission of their sins. And God cares, and Jesus cares for those little children in another country. But it isn't always well, even in this nation, for our little children. Now I want to enlarge upon, without natural affection. The Apostle Paul spoke of a day, and he spoke even then concerning those who would change the love of the creature against God and Christ. They would love the creature more than they would love the Creator. and they would do that which was unseemly and improper. Men with men and women with women. That which was not pleasing to the Lord. Without natural affection. Jesus Christ raised a warning in Matthew 24:12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That great, pure, natural love. And so we have today a great plague encompassing the earth. And we're all familiar, and I don't intend to go much into that today. We all know it's called AIDS. And it seems it is more prominent among those who choose this life pattern that is not pleasing to the Lord. We must awaken and be aware of what is taking place about us. There would be a time when there would be truth breakers upon the face of the earth. Yes, it even mentions here traitors and false accusers and such as this. And so even this nation has been falsely accused of many things by other great nations. And now we even have in our news of two great nations, Russia and the United States of America, trying to meet together over peace tables. Think deeply. It says here concerning truce breakers of a certain day. Some might keep a pact, but others, even though they agree to reduce arms, they could readily break the truce. And we know it has happened. I desire to turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:3. And listen to this in line with that. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. When they shall say, peace and safety. And is not that which is being said? Is not that which is being tried to be arrived at? Another passage of Scripture. And I desire to turn back to the book of Jeremiah, the 6th chapter. And I'd like to start reading with verse 14. Now, I really believe that prophecies on many occasions have more than one fulfillment. They apply to more eras of time than just one. And I believe this is one. He spoke to a people land, but how it fits today. Now listen. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly. They have healed slightly. How would they do that? Saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And today, across the world, hopes have been raised. There is a cry for peace. And how I too would love for that peace. But yet, I can well read the Scriptures and know of the things that are foretold. And so it says, they've healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying there's peace, peace, and there is no peace. And listen to this. Would not this fit our nation today? Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Think on that. Are they ashamed? Then it said, nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. You know, I think I'm talking to a group of people here. If certain things happened in your life, you'd see a lot of red beets flushing like this, you know. We've all been there. We've been embarrassed. There are some that aren't embarrassed no matter what takes place. And that's what it says. neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. What is the answer to the dilemma? Jesus Christ, who do not change. Ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? There it is. This is plain and simple. I couldn't make it any plainer if I stayed here till tomorrow morning. And walk therein. What'd that say? It said walk therein, didn't it? That's what it said. And ye shall find rest for your souls. Now I find comfort. I hope you each find comfort in this statement this day. You can find rest for your soul by following the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though the trials are great, even though the way is not easy. Didn't Alma say, I do know this, that whosoever shall put their trust in God shall be supported in their trials and in their troubles and in their afflictions? Didn't he say it? I believe that's true. And then he says, you put your trust in the Lord, you follow him, you shall be lifted up at the last day. If you wanted that reference, it's Alma 17:3. Yes, the Lord, if we walk therein, we shall find that rest for our soul. But what did those people of old say? We will not walk therein. What is the world saying today? All in all, we aren't going to walk therein. They want to gain peace. They would like to have peace on the whole face of the earth. They would like to be at ease within their being and at peace within their being. And they're seeking all kind of ways, but this way right here. This is the only way to get that true peace. Right here is the key. I see how quickly the time does pass, even in a sermon. And of course, I realize we started at a late hour, so I will still go a few more moments. And what I have here would take more than a few moments, I assure you. Yes, there would be a day of traitors, heady, which is violent. Didn't Jesus Christ say, as it was in the days of Noah, so also shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man? They'd be marrying and given in marriage and such like. But also another example, and that is, in the days of Noah, it was days of great violence upon the face of the earth. And the imaginations of the hearts of men were only evil continually. And that's what is shaping up. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That is something to really think upon. Because again, if you will but open your eyes, you will see worldwide how much people pursue pleasure. I remember a statement of our dear old brother Jordan, you know, Apostle Jordan. And he was a Canadian. He loved his country. And he says, well, concerning us Yankees down here and all the different devices we had on Sunday and the pleasures and that. And he says, now Canada has fallen, you Yankees. Oh, he felt so badly. And so I talk to people in Canada and I find that something starts here and it isn't long till it's in Canada too. They tell me that. So it's a little different there. Even though they're a ways away, yet we must heed the warning of Jesus Christ that deception is about the world today. I made a statement And some of you heard it, but I'm going to state it again because I feel it ties. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And I heard this newscast. The greatest one single desire for greater wages and good paying jobs is what? That men might buy pleasurable items. This is what that newscast said. That was a great desire impressed to have a better paying job. Not to lift some poor starving soul somewhere, to help those in Mexico who do not have enough to eat at times. But it was that they might have more pleasurable items. And as one priest in our area said, more toys. Well, one way of putting it, I guess. And I'm not trying to knock all pleasure. Don't get me wrong. Because in the Book of Mormon it says, Adam fell that men might be, and men are that they might have joy. But also the scripture says, temperance. It wasn't intended that man was to all the time be following some pleasurable item. It wasn't intended that way. And then it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That would be one of the things of our day. That's one of the things I think we really need to think upon. And I just want to turn to 2 Nephi, the 12th chapter. And this is found on probably page 154 in the Book of Mormon. And I just brought to our attention having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And he looked down through time and saw a time when they'd build up churches unto themselves. And then he saw concerning their priesthood. And they shall contend one with another. And their priests shall contend one with another. And they shall teach with their learning. Who we're to teach with? We're to teach with the learning of Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul. Yeah. That's a good one that I should turn to. I don't have it here, but it won't take long to turn to it. It's in the book of Galatians. And it's found in the first chapter, verses 11 and 12. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached of me is not after man. Here it said, priests would teach it their own learning. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, is that plain or not? Do you have any trouble understanding it? I don't think so. I think even the little children understand that, don't you? You know what I'm talking about. Well, it said here there'd be a day when their priests would teach with their own learning and deny the Holy Ghost, which giveth utterance. And they deny the power of God, the Holy One of Israel. And they say unto the people, hearken to us, and hear our precept. For there is no God today. For the Lord and the Redeemer hath done his work, and hath given his power unto men. I could go on more here, but I realize time is fastly passing. Why are the eyes of so many blinded? It happened many years ago. And we know the story in the Book of Mormon. And I'd like to turn to page 35 and read a bit here. In fact, I will skip on over to page 36 at the top of the page. And it told of a time, in fact, it told of a book that would be taken to the Gentiles, and it was the Bible. But when that book first went forth, it was plain and precious. But there arose a great and abominable church that took away many plain and precious parts from that book. And it says in verse 169 on page 36, and also many covenants of the Lord had they taken away. And all this had they done that they might pervert the right ways of the Lord, that they might blind the eyes and harden the hearts of the children of men. And so mankind stumbles, but the Lord was not always going to leave them in that dilemma. So one day, we find another book come forth. Let's go over to verse 183. And it said here, because of these parts, I want to give a little background, that were taken away, the Gentiles stumbled. And after the Gentiles do stumble exceedingly, because of the most plain and precious parts of the gospel of the Lamb, which has been kept back by that abominable church, which is the mother of harlots, saith the Lamb, I will be merciful unto the Gentiles in that day, insomuch that I will bring forth unto them in mine own power much of my gospel, which shall be plain and precious, saith the Lamb. And so these things were brought forth. And it said, in this book, in verse 186, will be written, my gospel, my rock, and my salvation. There's a lot more I'd like to touch upon here, but I would like to go to 3 Nephi now, on page 646. And blessed are the Gentiles because of their belief in me and of the Holy Ghost. And then he goes on down in 31. Behold, because of their belief in me, saith the Father, and because of the unbelief of you, O house of Israel, in the latter day, now there is the latter day part that I brought out earlier, shall the truth come unto the Gentiles, that the fullness of these things shall be made known unto them. There is the one that can help. But woe, saith the Father, unto the unbelieving of the Gentiles. And now I wish to skip a little more. I'd like to read it all. I invite you to read it all. But I want to go down to verse 34. Because I feel this is unfolding before our very eyes. And I want us to note and pay attention. And thus commandeth the Father that I should say unto you, at that day when the Gentiles shall sin against my gospel, and shall reject the fullness of my gospel, and shall be lifted up in the pride of their hearts above all nations, and above all people of the whole earth, and shall be filled with all manner of lyings, deceits, mischiefs, hypocrisy, murders, priestcrafts, whoredoms, and of secret abominations, and if they shall do all these things, and shall reject the fullness of my gospel, saith the Father, I will bring the fullness of my gospel from among them. And I believe that's in the process of being done. The fullness of the gospel is being rejected as a whole by this Gentile nation. One day, people spoke more kindly concerning those who have had the nickname Mormonism put upon them, or Mormons. But because of the teachings of some of the Restoration, teaching things that really aren't in the Book of Mormon, many have turned an eye away from this fullness. They reference the Book of Mormon. They are unknowledgeable completely what's in it, but it's still rejected right along with everything else. And what a sad thing is unfolding before our very eyes. We need to awaken our eyes. And isn't there lyings and deceits and mischiefs taking place? All you got to do is just analyze the last 12 months. News events, TV events. Just think upon them for a little bit. Some of religious nature by those claiming that Jesus is the Christ. And you know what has happened to some of them. I don't have to go into detail on that. You can read and you can hear, same as I can. And then we have the Contra-Iran affair that's been taking place. And I wondered about things. And really, we will never know the whole truth on that. But you know, that wasn't what was upsetting to me as much as other things. Like I told my dear companion last fall, all this unfolding, it has drawn people's attention to that. Not only this nation, but worldwide. It's got their attention. But it took it away from another thing that should have been addressed. And that is our gigantic national debt. Our gigantic trade deficit. These are things that we should have been taking time to address. But they don't know what to do with that. When a great nation is going in debt, over $200 billion a year, more than they take in, we better start looking. And now this nation, only a few years ago, was the largest creditor nation in the world. And now, in a few short years, it has become the largest debtor nation. And I recently read that in the early 1990s, that we will be in debt to other nations $1 trillion. Now that is $1,000 billion. That's a lot of money. And also, I read that with this, the living standard of this nation will go down and down. What should we really be addressing? It said there would be hypocrisy, lyings, deceits, and mischiefs. And so we need to open our eyes. But he has promised another thing here. When they reject this, he says, I will bring my gospel unto the house of Israel. And in verse 37, I will shew unto thee, O house of Israel, that the Gentiles shall not have power over you. But I will remember my covenant unto you, O house of Israel, and ye shall come unto the knowledge of the fullness of my gospel, that which the Gentiles are rapidly rejecting. But here's the hope. But if the Gentiles will repent and return unto me, saith the Father, they shall be numbered among my people of the house of Israel. But if they will not, he will cause his people to go through among them and tread them down. I have one other short passage of scripture that I want to close with. On page 76, 1 Nephi 7, because I want us to think of the picture beyond this, of some of the events that will take place. Verse 50. For the time, what does that word say there? Speedily. Okay. Shall come that all the churches which are built up to get gain. There's many that have built up to get gain. That's another part of the thing. It's unfolded this very year. Ministry with gigantic salaries. And what is happening to them? And all those who are built up to get power over the flesh, and those who are built up to become popular in the eyes of the world, and those who seek the lust of the flesh and the things of the world, and do all manner of iniquity, yea, and fine, all those who belong to the kingdom of the devil, are they who need fear and tremble and quake. They are they who must be brought low in the dust. They are those who must be consumed as stubble. And this is according to what? What do you suppose it's according to? Listen, the words of the prophet. Surely the Lord God will do nothing but he revealeth his secret unto his servant the prophets. And the time speedily cometh speedily that the righteous must be led up as the calves of the stall. Is it worth it? It is worth it to follow Jesus Christ. And the Holy One of Israel must reign in dominion and might and power and great glory. And he gathereth his children from the four quarters of the earth. And he numbereth his sheep and they know him. Brothers and sisters, take time to know Jesus Christ. It's going to be important. They are those who will be there, for they know him. And as we read on here, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd, and he shall feed his sheep, and in him they shall find pasture. And because of the righteousness of his people, Satan has no power, and they won't be loosed for many years. So I find in these passages of scriptures, even though there are some rather serious things prophesied of a time called the last days, yet there is hope. And there's a Jesus Christ and a God who cares for each and every one of us. Let us show that we love them by caring for them. Jesus Christ said in John 14 chapter, 12th verse, if you love me, keep my commandments. So I give that charge to you and hope that I may have brought things that will be beneficial to you in the days ahead.
Thank you, Marvin. Where did the time go? Friday, Saturday, Sunday's gone. Seemed like it was just Friday morning where I was standing right where I am now to open these services. Now I'm closing them. If I remember rightly, I think I did the same thing last year. Closed the service. I would like to thank each and every one of our brothers and sisters in Warrensburg and wherever else in Missouri that spent so much time and effort to get our meals, to set up their sound systems and for their specials and whatever. I know that each and every one of us from Phoenix appreciate it very much, and I'm sure all others from other places do also. And I know full well that each and every member of the ministry that had anything to do with these services or just sit in the audience and enjoy, wish to thank each and every one for whatever testimony was offered, for the prayers, for the beautiful specials that we have heard throughout the 3 days. For the sermons. Put them all together, and that's what makes it work. Again, for the love that has been exhibited, for I know full well that there's not many places we can go and have a body of people this large that cares as much for each other as we do. And truly, we have shown that love for one another throughout these 3 days. What a joy it would be if the full world could understand that and let it flow over into the world and spread throughout. Though we are few here, we know that throughout the face of the land, There are many good people, God-fearing people, they don't all belong to our church, but that don't make them bad. And it would probably do us well to know them, some of them. They could probably teach us a few things. But today we come to the close of yet another reunion with a few of us once again as